The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Steve Martin.
You all right, Steve?
Yeah, I'm good. That was quite loud in my ear. Thanks.
Yeah, well, do you know what? My office is very echoey now. Megan, my wife, she's a clean freak. Well, I shouldn't say that. She keeps the house very tidy and nice, you know, done the house very nicely. And in fact, she's transformed my office. The problem is she's taken everything out that before stopped the echoing. So, you know, all the soundboards have gone, everything. It's looking lovely. There's plants in here, everything. Plants. She's painted it, cleaned it. I don't want that, though, because it sounds awful.
Yeah, that's
dreadful.
The problem with soundproofing. It's not the most attractive stuff when you're trying to advertise your house, is it?
Yeah, well, there's a market in that. See, maybe attractive soundproofing, you know?
Well, I think it does exist, but you obviously have to pay professionals to come and fit it, and, like, you'll just stick it on with sticky tape.
Yeah.
That's probably the problem there.
There's the foam boards everywhere. I'm trying to get Pete and Steve, Pete and Paddy on, because they said they would, and they're not coming on, so it's slightly annoying. But anyway, welcome to the Weekend Podcast, everyone. I'm joined by Stevie, and we had this discussion before I start. But I'm going to talk about I've left Vox Markets, and so I'm doing other stuff. Well, in fact, I'm doing stuff I was already doing, but I'm getting more into it. There's lots happening, actually, I'm doing, and I'll get into that a bit before. But before we do that, Steve, we talked last week about you shifting your funds over from Harry and Larry, who were charging you lots of fees, because you got a Vanguard fund, and you found out that it's cheaper to switch it to Interactive Investor, and not even go to Vanguard's own platform. But you said it's cheaper to go to Interactive. Yeah. Now, Pete did a bit of research, and he came back with something else, saying something. And I don't know what the conclusion was. I lost the thread. It went on for a long time on the WhatsApp chat group. But what was the outcome, Stevie?
So basically, I looked at my fees. Now, I've got a yearly fee that comes out of my Vanguard funds, which actually is in the history of the Vanguard funds. So I presume that was Vanguard's kind of fees. But then regularly, just on my general Hargreaves and Lansdowne investment history, it was coming up as a monthly fee, and it was probably averaging recently around about £40 a month, which is quite a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, and obviously Interactive Investor were offering a flat fee of £11.99, I think it is, a month. So they're not charging you an interest of what you've got in your portfolio. So, and also a quite a huge cash back if you stay with them for at least 12 months. So it kind of made sense to do that. And obviously Pete's was like, I'll probably look into that. And I said to him to just quickly check his fees, but his fees... He reckoned, how would you say that? His fees were like £4 a month. Now, I'm a little bit confused by that because I'm pretty sure last time I spoke to Pete, we've got fairly similar portfolio values.
Unless
something's dramatically changed. So I'm a little bit confused how I'm paying £40 a month for Hargreaves and Lansdowne fees. And he was trying to basically say that it was to do with, because he hasn't got really any funds in Vanguard, but surely that's not all Vanguard's funds. That's the Hargreaves and Lansdowne fees, not the... And the fee from Vanguard was what I've shown as the yearly fee. I don't know. I'm a bit confused.
Yeah, I'm confused. But you've now moved it. Have you moved it to II?
I've started the movement. So it takes about 7 weeks in total to move it. So currently I'm still with Hargreaves and Lansdowne. But obviously at some point I presume it'll just suddenly appear in my Interactive Investor and Hargreaves and Lansdowne will be shut down, probably quite conveniently in time for the new tax year. But the cashback alone is amazing. So even if you just stay with them for a year, and they do some quite good referral fees as well. So if I recommend someone, so say for example Pete was going to move and I recommended him, he would get his fees free for a year, and I would get an extra £250 cashback as well in 12 months' time.
Knowing Pete, he wouldn't do that. He'd just go and sign up anyway and wouldn't take the referral link.
It's better for you and for him.
He'd say, no, I'm not doing that. No.
I'd rather pay the monthly fees,
So I don't know what's going on. Do you know what? This explains, doesn't it, why it's so confusing for new investors. It's like, you know, who do you go with? There's so many platforms, so many different types of fee. None of them understand. They're all over the place. You've got a fee for this, fee for... First of all, you've got a fee for the fund you're in, and then the platform you're on, and you think, what's going on? I don't understand. And I know it's very confusing. That's why it's very hard. I know. But that's why, as well, Steve, I don't know if you can do funds in them. That's why a lot of these disruptor brands are coming around, you know, like trading 212 or free trade. And the free trade, I've used that for my kids when we were doing Stocks and Shares podcast before, and we're buying sort of American stocks. I use free trade. It's an excellent app. Don't charge you anything for dealing. Well,
basically, the way I kind of look at it is that different platforms for where you are in your investing career. So if you've just started out and you just put money in, Hargreaves and Lansdown isn't a bad choice because they charge a percentage of what you put in. Obviously, when you've been with them a while and you've been investing quite a bit and your portfolio has gone up, suddenly then it's not quite as attractive because they're obviously charging you a percentage of what you've made. So it does depend on what your portfolio is, but the interactive investor almost seemed a bit too good to be true. Hence why I was asking you, are they a reputable company? And funny enough, ever since I've said that, I literally can't stop seeing TV adverts for them and them in general media. So they are a reputable investor.
Isn't that funny the way the brain works like that, though? It's like literally you didn't see them before. Now you pick up.
I know.
It's like when you buy a car, same thing. You know, you don't see a certain car, you buy a car, and then all of a sudden you see your car everywhere.
I'm also very heavily hearing, because Hargreaves and Lansdown are quite heavy on their advertising at the moment, and their marketing message at the moment it's something like better value for your investments. And I was like, well, no, in my case, definitely not.
in brackets, unless you listen to Steve, ignore Steve. You don't know what you're talking about, Steve. We're brilliant.
Yeah, but definitely worth looking into if you've got quite a high portfolio value. You say it's quite complicated, but I think if you just spend a good hour or so just kind of going through, because Interactive Investor, I found their website really good, actually. Explains it very well and probably not too technical. So it's pretty easy to understand, I think.
Yes. So anyway, listen, I've stopped doing the Vox Markets podcast. I've got lots of things going on, Stevie. Right? First of all, I want to, and when I first started doing a podcast before Vox approached me, I wanted to sort of speak to companies. My goal was to speak to companies I wanted to speak to, you know? These are, for me, they are small businesses, but they're good businesses, you know, generating money, profits, hopefully, just small ones that can grow and scale. So I never really did that. Well, don't get me wrong, there were lots of companies I talked to on Vox Positive that were very good, the kind of companies I really want to talk to. But I talked to a lot of rubbish as well, you know, resource companies digging dirt in Africa and all that stuff for years on end, issuing shares, and that's all they existed to do, pretty much.
Pretty much what broke me as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm not interested in those. I was for a little bit, and not anymore. You know, I'm genuinely on a quest to find great little businesses that can grow and scale. And so what I want to do now is go back to that remit, and I want to talk to companies that can grow and scale, and they are genuine companies I want to speak to that I think need to get their story across and share with other people, you know. And so I want to create this, you know, platform, this podcast, where every podcast you listen to, there's a company on it. And this, you know, it may not happen once a day, not even maybe once a week sometimes. But when the podcast pops up with a company on it, it's worth listening to. You know, so it's literally that old cliche, quality rather than quantity. That's what I want to do. I genuinely only want to speak to companies like that. And so I'm making forays into that area. Secondly, the Shipbuilders Investment Club has been shut for 8 months, and I've been having a big upgrade on it. And it's evolved with my sort of investment development and process, because I want to find good companies. And I've realized I keep saying this back over and over again, but in the last 2 years I probably learned as much as in the previous 10 years investing, because you don't really learn, but you learn in the bull market. But literally, you know, it's like, in fact, here's a good analogy, Stevie. It's like paddling a canoe with the current, right? You don't really learn too much because you're going in the right direction anyway. You know, you can just paddle any old technique you can use and you'll go in the right direction, you know, because of the whole market is. And it will turn around. But when you start coming against the current and you start sweating a bit and hurting a bit, you try and get more efficient, you know, with your paddling. You think, how can I do this then? And if you can't get pushed back by the current, you want to find a technique that will get you to plow through the current, you know, in some way. That's what I mean by the bear market has taught me a lot about quality business. Because don't get me wrong, there have been businesses, you know, that have risen in the bear market. There have been. The majority of them haven't. But if you pay attention to certain metrics and being disciplined and only gone for those, then you could have, in fact, even portfolio management, which I've delved a lot into over the last like 2 years, even if I'd been stricter on that, I wouldn't have given the market back, you know, some of the decent sort of profit I made. Yeah. So I'm writing a book on that. And in fact, you came up with the title, Steve, and it nearly won. I put a poll out there on Twitter. I had 10 titles. I said, pick this.
Is the poll closed now?
Well, it's still going, but you can just share it with your friends. Say, vote for number one there. That's the one you need to vote for. I think it was like yours was... You're still in the top three, Steve. You know, still in the top three. But anyway, so I'm writing a book about that, and that goes in conjunction with opening back up of my website, which I've done a huge amount of development on. And what it's about, essentially, is finding companies with the best risk-reward profile. Do you know what I mean by that, Stevie?
Well, it's quite self-explanatory, really, yes.
Is it, though? Is it?
Well, to someone who kind of knows the very basics, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? It's kind of a balance between the both, isn't it? You don't want to be... You want to be making money, but at the same time, you don't want to be making large money where you could also potentially lose it. So, yeah.
Yes, that's it. Because when you look at these, like, you know, for example, I'll give you an example. Pre-revenue, I call them hope-hype potential stocks. You know, they do have massive upside, but they could have massive downside. Now, you know, if you're going to be playing one of those, and in the book I explain how sort of how to play those, and how, so you know, in previous, I've had 3 10 baggers in that field. It's not the time at the moment to replay that in this market, but you know, I think the portfolio's, you know, got room for one of those, one or two of those, as long as you're overexposed. But yeah, it's about that. But largely, it's about trying to find. And in fact, what I've done is come up with the ratings. On all stocks, pretty much below 100 million market cap. I may expand that a little bit, but because I know full well that, and if I run the screener yesterday as well, for the last 12 months, right, pretty much every time I run the screener on the best performers of the last 5 years, 60% of the best performers are sub 100 million market cap. So, of course, you get, you know, the 40% is elsewhere, but there's so many stocks to look at. You think you may as well narrow your search down to that area. And trying to find great little businesses, then go on to be bigger businesses, you know? And so I've done that, first of all. But every company I look at, I evaluate on growth, value, health, efficiency, momentum, and potential. They're all scored, and they're indexed up. And then you can click through and see exactly where the scores are, what their value is. And on every metric, for example, growth is the most... For small businesses, growth is the most important. Does it have it? And I score against 5 different metrics of growth and 5 different metrics of value and all that stuff. And so, and then on site, there'll be all sort of broker forecast. You can see where the brokers rate it. And then I put my sort of forecast in there, going through the metrics as well. See, does it align with what I think it should be doing, worth-wise?
Do you know what? Obviously, that's all the stuff you've learned. So, well, you've increased your learning on those kind of things. But the one thing I kind of thought about this, that we kind of all lost track of, especially when the market's going flying beforehand, and you've started doing it now, so I know we were talking about it on our WhatsApp, is putting stop losses in. And no matter what happens, whether you feel stop the emotion taking over, when that stock falls below where you had that... is it stop loss? It is stop loss.
Yeah.
It sells out. Now, we've all been in that situation where a stock has dropped just below the stop loss. It sold out and then flown back up. But for every time that that's happened, it's fallen down and gone almost down to zero more times.
Spot on, Steve.
So by having the stop loss, is actually the absolute, because you might lose out every now and then, but I'd rather lose out every now and then than what we've lost in the last 2 years.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I've looked at literally thousands of charts, right, in the last couple of months, thousands. And it very rarely happens where, if you see it, if you buy right, for example, you buy a company with all these metrics aligning and then it's got momentum, and that's very important as well, and it goes into an uptrend, right? And I'll give you an example, actually. I just wrote and put a chart in about XP Factory. I bought that in November 2019. Now, the share price started rising above the 50-day moving average, 200-day moving average. Then you had the golden cross happen, where and essentially what moving averages do is follow the price. They lag the indicator of the price. But the price was making new highs constantly, right? And it rose up, and it literally above, you know, the share price was above these moving averages. And in fact, I'll go back and show you now. But it was above these moving averages from November... October 2020 was. So the share price crossed the 200-day on 20th of October 2020, and it rose up, and it didn't, and there was a massive gap. A, it literally took off, and there was A between the share price and the 200-day moving average for a long time until pretty much September 2021. But even that time, even the short time frame moving average, 50, it only touched that twice. Now, it's touched it in May 2021, right? You started saying, okay, what's happening here? It hasn't touched us now for a year. Why is it touching that 50-day moving average? So this is exactly what how I'm playing. If I'd used my you know, stop losses like I do at the moment, what I have been doing for the last 6 months, I would have probably taken profit and got about 350% out of that. As it was, I went by emotion alone, and I got out. I eventually put a stop loss in, way below where I should have. I got up with 15 pence. I doubled my money on that. But I mean, that's not bad. Yeah. That's a good example. But I should never have given. And do you know why that was? I fell in love with the story. I didn't play the maths. You should play the maths. The figures are what you play. When you're sitting on anything above 40%, well, in fact, what I started doing is, you know, I've got a really complex system for this. But anything above 20%, right? If you're buying at the right time and momentum's going, anything above that should give you a risk-free trade. You should put your stop loss in at 20%, you know, your buy price. If you're 20% in profit at your buy price, that gives you the nirvana of investing, a risk-free investment. And then essentially you edge it up, you know, not massively, because you could have little dips, but then, you know, you're talking about, well, once you get in that position, the most risky part is getting to that risk-free position, first 20%. Mm. Once you've got there, that's it. Done. You could leave it there if you want. Yeah. You're never going to lose money. Now, there's only three things, I said last time, only three things, outcomes that can happen in a market. That's, you can make money, you can break even, or you can lose money. If you take away the lose money part of the dynamic, it's a home run, isn't it? You can't go wrong. So that's essentially what I'll say. And then also what I've changed a lot, which is okay, is, you know, is leveraging towards winners. That's like a major... It's three areas. This book I'm writing is basically on three areas. It's, you know, what to buy, when to buy it, and how to buy it. And how is very important as well. It's about, you know, portfolio management and what happens is when you win a loss or when you're a profit. So every outcome is covered. Every outcome. And even if you get the worst case scenario, you're doing 20% loss of 3% of your total portfolio value. So that's the worst case scenario. So it's literally, you took 100 grand. If say you got 100 grand portfolio, but 3% in to start with, because you keep your losses small, you keep the mistakes small, and keep them small. And then literally 20% off that, that's 600 quid. So you would lose £600 from a £100,000 portfolio. No one likes losing money, but the bigger that loss gets, the more painful it is, and the more likely you are not to do it, not to cut.
Yeah, the ironic thing for me in my position is we're obviously doing very well, really well, actually, in our portfolios before the crash, before we went into the bear market. And it was all greed, because you just thought it was going to keep going and going and going, rather than putting stop losses to take out potentially, you know, by losing a little bit. But actually now, I've obviously, as you know, I've kind of moved all my money really into funds, really, which is the most sensible, low-earning thing you could possibly do. So it's, even if I did half the risk on the small cap stocks, I would have made so much more than the funds. So, in fact, funny enough, I'm actually going to... I was speaking to you at Christmas, because I said I'm not really investing anymore. I'm just going to put money into funds. And you did suggest at Christmas, and wishes you... You said you wish you could start again with 10 grand and you'd make me a fortune. Do you remember saying that?
Yeah.
So... What I'm probably going to do is at some point when the market probably recovers a little bit, which I know is probably the wrong thing to do. She probably should do it now, but I'm not quite ready to kind of jump back in yet. I'm probably am going to put 10 grand aside as basically not so much fun money, but kind of follow some your kind of way of doing this and then see what I can do with that 10 grand. And at least it's only 10 grand, you know, compared to the rest of my portfolio. It's and in theory, if I'm very careful with stop losses, I should be able to make money on it.
That's it. And do you know what, Steve? Yeah, absolutely. What I suggest doing now, at the moment, and because people will not do it, and I keep saying this, and it takes me a while to get around to doing it. Whenever I make an investment, before I make the investment, right, I think, okay, if I buy now, it's like I'm buying at £1. My stop loss, where will that go? Because straight away, and this is the first part of the book, I say, most investors, you know, think about reward only. That's it.
Yeah.
That's
why exactly where I was at.
That's why most private investors lose money. And I was the same. It's completely the bull bear cycle. I was the same in the bull market. You just think reward, reward, reward. Now, you never go into an investment thinking, what if this goes wrong? What's my plan for that?
Yeah.
Because no one thinks of that. Now, if you do that first, right, and you've realized the maximum you can lose, then you'd be a bit more careful with the money. And also, you if you're just thinking about reward, greed, basically, you'll chuck in as much as you can. And that's a really bad thing to do, because if it does go wrong, your mistake is wrong, you've lost a lot of money. If you think the risk first, right, and say, you know, you've got a company, so you put like 3%, if you're doing 10 grand, probably maybe 5%, but you know what it is. Because even if it rises by 10%, for example, let's say you put like £1,000 in to a company, okay, and it's a pound. You say, right, I'm put, you know, 20% stop loss on that. And so you can lose, what's that, £200? £200.
Yeah, that's
on that, yeah, on 20%, £200. So if it rises by 10%, now that stop loss is now 30% below where you bought at. So you can move that up in 10% increments, I'd suggest. So now you've got only 10% on risk. So if you think of the risk side of it all the time, so now I'm going to lose £100 off that £1,000. Right? So say it goes up again by another 10%, then you move that up to your buy price, and then it's a risk-free investment. Then you can look around for something else, ignore that for a while. If it rises by another 20%, you can do the same again. You can put another £1,000 in, right, and put the same 20% stop loss in. So you're now the same amount of risk, because, again, you're risking £200, because the other ones, anyway, is going to be break-even. But now you've got £2,000 invested. So your risk exposure, your reward exposure is getting bigger, but your risk is not. So it's the perfect way. And also what that does, it leverages your portfolio towards winners. You ignore it until it starts winning. And you do get it. And what that means is efficient allocation of capital, because you mean you don't just go around chucking lots of money in lots of stocks, because you only put like, you know, 2-3% in, whatever you want to put in. And then basically, you know, if you work on that thing, you could have, say, 10 shots at goal, but you've got plenty of cash on the sideline to leverage up on the winners. And then, of course, you only lose 20% maximum on the losers anyway. So it's about portfolio management, risk and leveraging, and also leveraging towards, like I said, before in the bear market, and the bull market, it used to average down. I'm looking at it now, even the mass of that is nuts. Because basically, you are piling, if it's going to a loss and you're piling more money onto a loser, it's doing two things. First of all, you're risking more money. Secondly, your portfolio performance is going down because, you know, you are leveraging towards a loser, which is nuts, isn't it? If you think about it, it's like betting on, if you see two athletes and, you know, one is, these two athletes in a race of, say, 10 Olympians or whatever, and, you know, out of these two athletes, one of them has beat the other one 9 times out of 10, you're not going to go and put big money on the one that has lost most, are you? You're going to put it on the winner. So you always
pretty sure I've
go,
done that in Cheltenham before.
Yeah. So you always go with your winners, you know? So it's a lot about that. I was talking about this. It's not the book I'm doing now. One of the first chapters, I say, I've read a lot of books. So first and foremost, what I say, I said, I've read a lot of books on investing. And what struck me as is very few books written by private investors. And there's a good reason for that. Most private investors do not make money on individual stocks. And also, even the so-called experts who write books on how to find strategies or how to find winners and all this stuff, they very rarely tell you how well they've done personally. You know, they never tell you if they've made any money. There is the odd one here and there, but mostly they don't. They talk about strategies and stocks. They don't talk about what they've personally done, and that's all that counts. It's your return, because you should only pay attention to people who've done well, you know, who've made money in the stock market, because they've done it. So I literally, in the first chapter, I show exactly what I've made, where I've come from, how much I've made, and how much I give it in the bull market, and how much I've got now, and the return on investment of that. And so I said, in my mind, because I'm a private investor, I didn't start with a huge amount. It qualifies me to write about this. And also the fact is that I've learned so much in the last 2 years. And I realise now I'm now a more fuller, more rounded investor than I ever was. And I'm just really looking forward. I mean, the last 12 months I've made money. The only year I didn't make money in the last 11, no, the last 12 years was 2022. And that knocked me, my portfolio, about 48%.
That wasn't a good year, was it?
No. But it's one of the things, you know, it's one of the lessons, and it's gutting. If I'd had this strategy, literally, where it is more clinical, it's less about the story, because when you start falling in love with the stock, and this happens a lot, I see people do this, you're basically emotionally investing. You're not investing because of the company's growing or it's winning. And I did this a lot of stocks. You know, you tend to fall in love with stocks sometimes, or you talk to the CEO and you like them a lot, and you believe what they're saying rather than the figures that are coming out from the company. Never do that. Figures are fact. Everything else, opinion. You know, it should be numbers, not a narrative. And it's all about believing the figure. This is why I've come up with these sort of, the spreadsheets, which are now going to be dynamic on the website, where you can just look at a company, plain light of day. You can look at, the CEO is talking a good game, but the figures are not. So until the figures improve, I'm not going to invest, you know, and things like that. And so it's just breaking down. So basically, I'm opening back up the my Shape Pickers Investment Club. But first, there's a book as well. Now, if you buy the book and become a member, I'll refund you the book. But the book is free to members. Is obviously the weekly webinar.
Is it just a digital book, or are you getting it printed?
Well, I don't know. I'm obviously new to this. I've written a book before, but on complete nonsense. In fact, the story was, Steve, I know this is quite good, I don't know whether you like this or not. Story was, guy goes on holiday with a new girlfriend, comes back from holiday, picks up what he thinks is his suitcase, gets home, opens it up, there's loads of drugs in there. So he wants to just take it back to the police, but his missus, who's a little bit evil, says, no, that's loads of money. And because of that, he gets in a lot of problems. But yeah, anyone wants to have that theme. Literally, I wrote the entire book, but I thought, what's this? That's not what I'm about. So I've never really written a book. So I'm looking into it. About Kindle by Amazon. Amazon seems quite easy to do. You know, you just got to get the format right and all that stuff. I'm looking at it. I've done that pretty much. But then you got to get the nice cover, a nice title. But yeah, I'm still writing it.
You should speak to my ex-girlfriend. She self-published her own book, remember?
Oh, yes. I should do that. Yeah, I should do that. I mean, how long ago was that, though? Maybe things have changed.
Yeah. It was pre-COVID, but I'm sure there's probably some similar things that are still the same. But
yeah. So anyway, if people are listening and they're interested, it's not open yet, but it's literally free investment book, a weekly webinar where we go through all stocks, any ideas. I try and find on a weekly basis some good companies. Now, they may not be ready yet, but they may have the potential to go ready, to get ready. You know, they are recovery plays or they're whatever. But, I put them on. I have a blog where I will be posting when I buy, the day I buy, I'll be posting what I bought. A webinar is where I go through my entire holdings and my cash levels and all that for every week. There'd be a new thing called my watch list.
You are literally going to tell everyone in the group exactly to the minute when you're selling and buying stocks and shares.
Yeah. So that'll be on the blog. Yeah. So okay. My watch list, that's the list of companies that we and have gone to. Because every week, we do a bit of a deep dive on, you know, half a dozen companies. And we look at the fundamentals of a company, look at the chart and everything. And then from that, every now and again, I look at one, I like that. It's not quite ready, but looking at the broker forecasts and where they say it's going to be going, if that plays out, it could be a huge potential. So it's things like that where you just have to wait and be patient and see if it plays out nicely. So I have my watch list where I'll have a blog piece where I will have a list of companies I've liked that we've gone through the webinar. Of course, there's stock requests. I always get people asking if they want to look at some stocks. I do that in the webinar. And then the stock scores, where I like this, is what I'm talking about. These are the companies, scored by risk and reward. And they are largely small companies, but they are, literally said, decent reward with very low risk. And that's how you look at it. Company analysis, targeted news, all that. Everything, resources, is all learning videos on there anyway. If you've never charted before, I would set up a chart, all that stuff. Also looking at income statements, balance sheets, cash flow statements, all that. And there's a chat group, Steve. I've been to the last time you were on the webinar, Stevie.
Quite a while ago, if I'm honest.
Oh, cheers for that, fella.
It's it's just not always at a convenient time for work for me, or social stuff.
Do me a favour, Steve. Type in, because apparently it's my cash not working. Maybe type in your phone, right? Later, let me know if it works. Sharepickers.com/subscribe.
Right? Okay.
Go there, see what you get. Because I don't... to me, it just goes to the wrong page, but they assure me, the web developer, they've redirected it. I set up. In fact, I've just noticed I'm missing a T in my name.
All you need to do is clear your cookies, don't you?
That's what he said. Yes.
Re-look for the link. Yeah.
And he said, "No, give it a bit of time." He said, "Clear your cookies, whatever you need to do." But so if you're listening to this, anyone, go to sharepickers.com/subscribe. That's just join the list. So when I open it up and it's all ready to go, you'll be notified.
I presume you're going to be doing limited numbers again, so it's first come, first serve basis.
Yes, but no, what's it going to be? If you join for the first month, I am going to be... it's just the same price, £99. If you don't, after that first month, it's £145. I mean, it's like market economics. I mean, you know, the numbers will be limited by the price, I think. If I go up, add the price more, then I don't want huge amounts of people, but I also want people who want to learn. It's not a tip service. It's ideas there, lots of ideas, but it's not just a tip service where, people just join in and say, oh, then if it goes wrong, I've had that previous in the past. People just, jump on stocks and then said, oh, you said this would go up and it hasn't. I think you need to do a bit more research than that, pretty much. Yes, I think your idea of doing individual stocks, but focusing on, literally risk analysis and all that stuff is good, because the market is going to... Today, for example, they announced the recession has started, right?
Yes.
And yet the AIM-ALL share rallied a little bit. It's off its lows, and we've got what's called a golden cross, which means that's the AIM-ALL share. Yeah, it's up. The golden cross on the AIM-ALL share index. And I said this, it's happened today, the 50-day moving average crossing up over 200 a day. The last time that happened was back in July 2020. That's the last time it happened, golden cross, and the index went up by 51.4% over the next few months. So
reminds me, because all I've seen, I should know this really, and I do, but I've just been so long. To me, a recession sounds like quite a good idea at the moment, because it seems like prices will go down, which I think we're all kind of wanting at the moment. But I know it's not a good thing for the UK in general. But for short term, it's not a bad thing, is it?
Well, if you do, I said, the AIM market, the markets are clever, aren't they? I don't know where this comes from, because for a long time, the market peaked, right? In September 2021, the AIM-ALL share index. Since then, it's dropped by 45%. And what was, what news did the market know that we didn't? This is also why you shouldn't trust what you think and your opinion of a stock. Just trust the figures. If you're if you're making a good profit, put stop loss in, because you never know when the market's going to turn. You never know when the stock price is going to turn, So at least then, if you're sitting on a profit, worst case scenario, you're locked in, you will not lose money. And that's why just having opinion on where a share price goes is irrelevant. I mean, there's people obsessed with stocks who think their stock will go to, be a 10-bagger. You don't know that. And that's why it's always good to just go with the winners. Doesn't matter what the winners are, because I guarantee I've done it before. I've had like sort of half a dozen stocks, and I believe that one is going to be the big winner. And another one turns out to be a big winner. And so if you don't leverage equally at the start and give all of them a chance, then you're literally going to be not leveraging towards your winners. So it's the same thing. It's very, like I said, it's a very mental game, isn't it? We all think in the bear market, it's going lower. We all think the bull market's going higher. Now, that can't keep happening, And so you realise now, one of the best times to invest probably over the next... Now recession's in, right? Rishi Sunak already, is going to get hammered at the polls. We've got a budget coming up. I think he's going to him, he wanted to go for growth, and he wants to stimulate the economy. It's from a business background. I think literally the next budget, they're going to open the doors wide as far as possible to get as much stimulus going as possible. I honestly think, he'll be nudging the Bank of England to talk about reducing interest rates before the next budget. And that's in March, because he's going to want all the votes he can get. And I think he will not want to go into a election knowing he's taking the economy into recession. So it's a huge political pressure from him. So I think the market, apart from it pricing all this in, and we know all about this, that interest rates will be coming down. We are now close to the bottom. The bottom's happened, I think, and we are only going up from here. Well, not a straight line, but I think that's why it's a good thing, Steve. You're looking at individual stocks. But again, focus first and foremost. This is the question you should ask yourself, right? How much am I going to lose in the stock if it goes wrong? That's the first question you should ask, always. Because no one ever thinks that. Most private investors don't think, how much can I make? And then they're skewed towards how much money they're going to chuck in it and how much can they make off that? No, don't think like that at all. Think how much you're going to lose, because you cover off that base and you're fine. You cover cover the risk, you're done. If you remove the risk, there's only reward. So we are. But there we are, Steve. And have you finished walking now, Steve?
No, I've pretty much got to the end of my loop and on my way home now.
I didn't know you were doing walking.
Yeah. Got to, just a bit of a New Year thing. Make sure I'm walking every day.
How far do you walk? Just,
well, this one's going to be about 7 miles. So
okay, you've lost your driving license, haven't you? Yeah, I'm walking to work. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've got to come clean, no. Actually. Yeah. Yeah. 7 miles, that's good, isn't it?
Well, this is a long way. I'm trying to do about 30 minutes a day, but so today, I don't know.
Well, like, it's on. Actually monsoon rain. Steve, you can't do 7 miles in 30 minutes.
No, I said usually I do 30 minutes, but obviously this one's going to be about an hour and 20 or so.
Hour and 20?
Probably an hour and a half, yeah.
Steve, you need to get a dog. They'd love that kind of nonsense. I've been up for 50 minutes a day for a walk with Lola. She loves it. Just get yourself a dog. It gives you a purpose as well, you know? It's nice. Just think about that, Steve. We'll look after our dog when we go to holidays. Anyway, either or. All right, Stevie. Well, thanks for joining, Steve. Because Pete and Paddy, they're very reluctant these days.
Ever since he's moved to Cardiff, Pete's gone a bit quiet, hasn't he? Well, come on, Pete, get back on the podcast.
Yeah, it's because he's in love, you know?
Yeah.
He's a good time for all that. It's because his mind's elsewhere. I haven't got time for investing. All I'm investing is love. Yeah, no, there we are, Stevie. All right, then, fella. Speak to you next week.
Bye.
The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter, and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.